Hello, it's Monday, November 14th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I'm your host, Chris, and this is show number 31. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, podcast feeds, and our downloadable show archive. If you want to send us an email, we do accept audio questions and audio reviews of video games here. Try and keep them about 2 minutes. Videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. Today we have three folks with us here. Phil.
Hola.
Bob.
Hey.
And Keith.
It's good to know that it's Clementine season again. They're good, and it's that time of the year, so I'm happy.
Today we will be discussing what's new at DreamStation, miscellaneous Xbox facts, there's a lot of Xbox stuff going on this week, Factor Crap, Bumblefoot steps off the GTA case, video game deaths, Bob will be reviewing Fear for the PC, some Nintendo Revolution facts, some PlayStation 3 facts, our forum question, the Michigan video game law overruling, EA's downloader, and our mailbag.
Mailbag.
Next topic.
This week in housekeeping, we are on the front page of iTunes once again. They have a gamer section there. And so hello, all you new iTunes listeners. Our DreamStation t-shirts, again, are up for sale there. Sony Online and LucasArts will be offering refunds to anybody who bought the new Star Wars Galaxies expansion pack called Trials of Obi-Wan. If you bought this thing before November 3rd, you can request to have a refund made to you before December 1st, and they will give you your money back. Basically what happened is they did a pretty big overhaul of the game. I didn't play the game. I just figured I would let you guys know there's a potential chance to get your cash back. Sony's digital rights management thing is halted. If you guys remember from last week, Sony had this XCP copy protection. They would install rootkits onto your computer, which basically hid files and stuff from you, sucked up some system resources without your knowledge. They've had several class action lawsuits, including New York, California, and Italy, I believe.
Hey, I actually heard this on PBS, so continue.
Sony said that they're going to stop putting it on their CDs for now, although they do think that it is important to have digital rights management, blah, blah, blah. I would also like to thank Neil from Splashworks and NeelyWorks because he sent an email with a whole bunch of details. I guess now would be the appropriate time to yell at Chris Gallant because he still has not sent me his first place Destroy the Space Pirates DVD. Probably next week what I'm going to do is throw Neil's second place entry up. He did a pretty sweet job. Details will come next week. Next week's show is a little bit up in the air. What I mean by that is we will probably be standing in line somewhere in northeastern Ohio waiting for an Xbox store to open up so we can get our 360s. I'm not sure what exactly is going on with the show. Most likely we will be doing a show. It may be a day late. It may also be not a full entire show. Maybe we'll just do the whole show from the line. Who knows? I have to see how it goes. Found a pretty cool website. It's got all kinds of video game commercials from the past and the current. GameAds.GamePressure.com. Again, the URL will be in our show notes. Some of them are pretty hilarious. My favorite being the Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks commercial at the boardroom meeting. We'll leave it at that. You guys really need to see that one. What I mean by we'll post it in our show notes, if you go to our website, on the left-hand side towards the top, there's a video game show link. You can click on that, and it will have some more detail about some of these things we're talking about, including URLs and links. I did want to mention the fact that this came up this week, and a couple people emailed me about it. We can't pause video games like we used to be able to. You can't get called for dinner, hit pause, and then go eat, especially with stuff online. Just the other day, World of Warcraft, you know, you're in the middle of a raid, and you have to help somebody bring in groceries. Your parents call you because you're playing a game of Halo online. You guys are going to have to realize now that you're going to have to give us a little bit of heads up, and we can't just drop everything at the drop of a hat like we used to and just...
Because that's how we used to do it. We used to just, oh, sure, we'll come up right now. Now we have an excuse. It's totally different.
At least I've told them. So parents, wives, girlfriends, just be aware.
Next topic.
New at DreamStation. Two things we've done for review, SSX on Tour for the PSP. There's a review up, as well as Ultimate Spider-Man for the PS2.
Next topic.
Getting into our first real topic here, miscellaneous Xbox facts. There's a whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about. I'm just going to jump right into it in kind of no order at all. It was brought to my attention that Xbox will play songs that you have on your iPod, because there is connectivity there with the PSP and the iPod. The problem is it won't play songs that you've purchased legally through iTunes. They don't want to pay the extra money for the whole digital rights management thing. There's something I think it's called Fair Play or something like that that will allow you to transfer music or license music out to other electronic equipment. So yet again, more reason for you not to be a good citizen and purchase your music in a really legal fashion. Your own music, custom soundtracks on the Xbox 360. Yes, you can do your custom music in your game, so you can put your favorite CDs and stuff in there. The developers will have the final ability as far as allowing you or not allowing you to do it in their title. For example, Eden Studios is making a horror game. They said that putting your music music into their game would ruin the ambiance, so they're turning it off. So you are not allowed to listen to Slipknot or Paul McCartney or whoever floats your boat in their horror game. I mean, I guess my opinion is, in a certain situation like a horror game, I don't really have a big problem with, you know, the ability not to put a custom soundtrack in, but if it's an action game or a racing game where the music doesn't really take away from anything, I really think that that should be enabled.
Yeah, didn't we have that problem with the latest Burnout? During the race, you can't play your own music?
Burnout Revenge, multiplayer, will not play your custom soundtracks during multiplayer races. I don't know about Xbox Live. I haven't done it on Xbox Live yet, but in multiplayer in person, it won't play your music, which kind of sucks. They have the launch titles announced for the Xbox 360. Overall, I guess it's a eh. They got Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero, Project Gotham Racing 3, Call of Duty 2, Need for Speed, King Kong, Madden 2006, Gun Condemned, NBA 2K6, Ridge Racer 6, Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, Quake 4, Tiger Woods Golf, Amped 3, FIFA 2006, NHL 2K6, and NBA Live 2006. So thank you for bearing with me while I read off those 18, count them, 18 launch title games. They pushed back Oblivion, they pushed back Dead or Alive. Overall, eh, I don't know, I guess I'm not super impressed with it. The majority of it I've already played on the current generation of the Xbox.
I know King Kong, though, is supposed to go above and beyond the call of the video game, and they want you to cry after playing it.
Where did you read that?
MSN. I'll find the thing. It says he wants you to cry after playing it.
Like, oh God, I wasted $60 on this piece of crap.
There's a monthly fee. I'm a monkey.
You're supposed
and
to
I
be
can't
like,
throw my king poop.
Supposed to be touched by the message.
It's interesting that they were pimping the whole Perfect Dark Zero thing, and then word got out that that game is a big piece of crap, so now they're like, oh, Cameo! Cameo is really the greatest game, not Perfect Dark. Cameo is wonderful. You're an elf that can change into a monkey. See how that's much better than a gun-toting chick? See? I'm going to pick up Project Gotham Racing 3. I'm going to pick up Call of Duty at the launch. I was going to get DOA, but I can't now. Cameo, maybe I'll get it. Let's talk a little more about the backwards compatibility garbage. 212 of the current generation Xbox games will work on the 360. If your big hits like Halo, Halo 2, your Grand Theft Auto stuff, your KOTOR, Ninja Gaiden, all that stuff will work. You stick the game into your Xbox 360 while it is connected to Xbox Live. So again, you need a hard drive. You need to have an online connection. It'll go download some emulation stuff.
Oh, that's so convenient. They're just making this system for the consumer. This is for you.
I guess now, it's better than nothing. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about
No. Nothing is better than inconvenient.
I disagree.
You know,
I think
the carrot on a stick thing. Would you rather, you know, here, there's something sweet right here. It's going to be a big pain in the get it, but you can get it, but it's a pain in the it's right here. Or just, like, not have the carrot to begin with and enjoy your grass.
Well put. Well played.
I'm not sure I see your point in the way that you presented it. I guess it's just a ploy for them to make more money. I mean, in order to be able to play those games, you have to subscribe to Xbox Live, which is something you have to pay for.
Now, let me jump in real quick, though, that there is a free version, member. Everybody gets
these. Wait a minute, though. Why don't you just use the Xbox you already have if you really want to play them that bad?
I agree.
Get a video selector box.
Simply stick the game in the system located 2 feet to your left, and 100% of those games will work. You don't have to download anything.
Play any game from the Xbox. No downloading. No live required.
I think it's cool that they're putting the backwards compatibility, but I also feel more strongly that, what's the big deal? Play the friggin' game on your current Xbox. It's not that big of a deal. Now, I will say that everybody does get a free version of Xbox Live, so you can, you know, you don't have to pay anything extra. As long as you have a broadband connection, you can download whatever emulation stuff you have. If you don't have the hard drive, you're hosed. If you don't have an internet connection, you can go to Xbox website and you can download some sort of little doohickey thing that you put on a CD, put the CD in your Xbox, and it will put the emulation software onto your PC that way. So that's kind of cool that they went the extra step to do all that stuff. The reason that they're doing emulation is because the hardware between the current gen and the 360 is a little bit too much off, so that they can't simply just stick the CD in there and have it work 100%. I will make the note that content is not transferable. All your saved games, all your premium content that you've purchased, all your unlocked stuff, no way to get it onto your 360. Yeah, there's no way to transfer.
Just gonna do that.
Some games, and by some games I mean Halo 2, will have its content as far as, you know, what levels that they put out that you can buy, the premium stuff that you've purchased. All that stuff will be downloadable for free, so they're not going to rape you twice. One big game that I was a little bit disappointed that was left off the list, because these are supposed to be the top sellers, the Splinter Cell series. Sam Fisher is not on the Xbox 360 yet.
Ooh.
And again, these guys are saying that they're going to be updating this stuff. They wanted their bang for the buck. They wanted the top-selling titles, and then with the top-selling titles, girls came along stuff like Barbie and Catwoman, because supposedly they use like technology. So by making Halo 2 work, Alias came along for the ride because they have so much in common, I guess. There's your 1 week before launch, last minute pile of Xbox stuff. Yes, I will be buying one. Yes, I have to admit I am kind of excited for it. I'll let you guys know how it is when I get it.
Go Team Phantom Console.
Next topic.
So Factor Crap time. Special edition of Factor Crap comes from Tom, who is studying for some sort of test for some sort of class that he's taking, master's degree or whatever he's doing.
He's trying to become a master assassin, and he has to take the test.
This week, we have one crap and three facts. Here's number one. Peter Moore, the top marketing executive for Microsoft's Xbox 360, as well as the Dreamcast, was actually a professional athlete before entering the world of video games. Number two. John Carmack, the creator of Doom and considered to be one of the most brilliant game programmers of all time, is actually a college dropout. Number three, Ken Kutaragi, father of the Sony PlayStation, was busted for marijuana possession in California in 1991. He pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor possession charge of less... God bless America.
You suck.
He must not be going to study English, that's for sure. He pleaded guilty to misdemeanor possession charge of less than 1 once and was given a fine with no jail time. That's what he wrote. Now, do you see why I stumbled 18 times?
That one's too long. That's got to be the fact.
Lastly, we got Bill Gates. No, this one's longer. Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, donned a black trench coat and double-barreled shotgun and virtually jumped into a Doom map in order to promote the release of Doom for Windows 95. During the promotion, he angrily shot a zombie guard and said, "Never interrupt me." So, one of those is crap. The other three are facts. Peter Moore was a professional athlete before he got into video games. John Carmack, creator of Doom, is actually a college dropout. Ken Kutaragi was busted for marijuana possession in 91. Bill Gates jumped into Doom with a shotgun. One is crap.
Two, because I don't remember what it is. Those are some damn long-winded crap or fags. So number two, because I forget which one that is.
All right, so Keith is saying John Carmack is not actually a college dropout.
That's right, I am. That guy's a genius. He couldn't possibly not have finished college.
I'm going to go with one is crap because Peter Moore. And when he said Peter Moore, you know, on previous programs, you've gotten him confused with Michael Moore. And so every time you say Peter Moore, I think of Michael Moore. And Michael Moore is obviously not an athlete, so neither is this guy. I say that. That is my pick. Say that it's probably the marijuana possession thing.
And Phil?
I'm going to go with into the Doom game with the trench coat and the shotgun.
So Bill Gates did not don a trench coat and jump into Doom.
Yes, that's the one that I'm picking as.
Here's the crap. Ken Kutaragi, father of the PlayStation 2, was not busted for marijuana possession in California in 1991. Tom's little note here was, as far as he knows, that is, but he sure is smoking something. Peter Moore is a former professional soccer player as well as a gym teacher.
Oh, soccer.
You're going to get stabbed now from some poor kid that goes into your school. You want to see my soccer team stabbed?
I said nothing derogatory about soccer. Let's just put it at that. John Carmack is
cricket. No, that's a man's sport.
John Carmack is a college dropout. That is a fact. He went to the University of Missouri for 2 semesters and then dropped out. And lastly, Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, did don a trench coat, jump into Doom, and he had the whole promotion for Windows 95. Tom sent a link here, the actual video.
Oh,
I'm going to post that into the...
I'm
going to
go work on cleaning up the neighborhood, and...
He said the PC is the gaming platform of the future, and in fact, it's not. Sorry.
Next topic.
Bumblefoot steps down off the GTA case. Florida lawyer Jack Thompson has stepped down from the Grand Theft Auto court case. And again, Bumblefoot is what we nicknamed him because he's an idiot. He was representing the families of the slain police officers that were killed by that crazy dude Devin Moore. He was a gamer obsessed with Grand Theft Auto. He will be going up against Sony, Walmart, Take-Two Interactive, Rockstar Games, and GameStop because, of course, it's their fault that this psycho dude blew away these cops. Last week, the defense asked for two things to be discussed. One was that the case be thrown out of court entirely because it was ridiculous, and second, that Bumblefoot be thrown off the case because he is a violation of legal ethics. But Bumblefoot stepped down before he had the chance. Bumblefoot said that he wanted to be taken out of the equation. He wanted to serve the clients. It was his idea to step down. He was not pressured by the judge at all.
Wait, what was his little breach of ethics thing? I missed that.
The defense lawyer, I guess, wanted this dude thrown off the case because of violations of legal ethics. He was making the case a circus freak show. He was bringing in his book and waving it around and the whole Penny Arcade thing.
Yeah, Yeah.
And then, you know, he was saying that Janet Reno was a lesbian that drank and was open for blackmail by the mob or something of that, because he was running against her for something at the time. And this dude's just like, he's going to make this, what's already a circus, into more of a circus. So can we get this pinhead out of here? And the judge was like, Bumblefoot said, you know what? I'm going. Jack Thompson is too cool for this court.
Hey, you know, it's really good to see he's got the courage of his convictions there, because this is something he believes really strongly in.
Yeah.
Get through to the end and...
For the children. Apparently the children are quite all right. We'll just,
I got a book to sell.
Now that my name has been plastered everywhere and publicity is mine, I will leave. Have a good day.
So that was the brief but needed mentioning that he's gone this week. He'll be back next week. Don't worry.
Next topic.
It's video game death time once again. Yes, folks, 3 weeks in a row. Now, this one's a stupid American. An 18-year-old shot two friends of his, ages 17 and 19, over a game of... Guess the game? Come on.
Grand Theft Auto.
Nope. John Madden Football. They were playing Roster Update 2006 in North Braddock, Pennsylvania this last week, and during the game, a squabble broke out between the four friends playing the game.
A squabble?
A squabble. So, there was four dudes there. Two of them died. One of them got away. The victims that were hit died of multiple gunshot wounds to the backs of their heads. One of them looked as if he was trying to escape through the back door. He should have been playing something like SOCOM. The dude has that good aim.
America's army needs you.
And I should mention, at this point, Tom did manage to break free and get into the discussion here.
Learn some grammar.
What did I do wrong? Yeah, just run on sentences mostly.
Ken Kutaragi, father of the Sony PlayStation, was busted for marijuana possession in California in 1991. So far, so good. He pleaded guilty to misdemeanor possession charges of less than one once and was given a fine with no jail time.
Yeah, but you know, you could extract the meaning from that.
We were just discussing how there was a video game death from some American kid in Pennsylvania when he blew away two of his friends during a squabble of John Madden 2006.
Who's playing Madden 2006? Why would you waste your money?
That's why he lost it. Oh my God, this sucks!
Is Bumblefoot going to place the blame on John Madden? Is it a murder simulator?
Excellent. That's true. He is causing our kids to kill themselves and each other.
Sports cause people to be violent. We need to stop all sport playing.
Boom!
Play more video games. Stay away from sports. Oh wait, oh God, what have I done?
Well, if you see the mother video from Fact or Crap, it's very clear now who is the inspiration for Columbine.
Yes, it is very clear. Back to this video game death. The mother of the kid was at work when all this stuff went down. In addition to the double homicide, the kid was charged with robbery for stealing the PS2 console on which the game was being played and taking some cash. The only thing that could have made it worse was if he brought the console home and then used it to register online for some SOCOM account or something. Like,
I own it, bitch.
That would be the problem, though. He had a clan, but had is the key word.
Not for long.
Oh, dear Lord.
Fight.
So, yeah, in closing, I mean, you feel bad for the guys that got shot. Man, kids, you are not helping the video game movement by doing dumb things like this. Can't you just control yourself and be a fool with some other medium? Next up, Bob will be reviewing Fear for the PC.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, Fear is a first-person shooter for the PC. The point of the game is that you are a member of the Fear Squad, which stands for First Encounter Assault Recon, which is similar to a SEAL or any other special forces squad, except that you're supposedly deal with paranormal manifestations and whatnot. Now, this has got touted for being, I mean, even says it got like a 92% on some game rankings thing, and it's quoted as being the best shooter for the PC recently.
Greatest FPS this week!
It wasn't the greatest back in, like, you know, for the Windows 95 platform is what I wanted to get across.
Oh,
that was obviously Doom. Gameplay is like a typical FPS. You have your slew of weapons that you can find. You have your ammo pickups, your armor pickups, your health pickups. It plays a lot like UT, Raven Shield, or any of the other games. So there's a real small learning curve. You can pretty much jump in and start playing. Biggest point of this game was the AI. Most of the combat is versus other special forces, and rather than the typical, you know, here comes the bad guy rushing straight for you firing, they like have a little squad set up and they'll use strategy against you, which is honestly, when you first start playing it, I remember somebody saying the next generation systems are going to have a lot more of this kind of, you know, you're really not going to notice much of the graphics, but the AI is supposed to be better, and we all kind of laughed, like, what kind of difference could this make? After playing this game, I'd say it makes a huge amount of difference, especially how it was implemented here. If there's two guys in front of you and they know you're in the room, they'll like, one dude will barrel roll in front of you, the other side of the room, the other guy will pop around the corner, they'll both start firing you at the the same time, and it makes the battles a lot more difficult, but not hard where they're just stupid. The graphics, it is probably one of the best looking games I've ever seen. Unfortunately, the game itself is a real PC destroyer. Really need a pimped out graphics card. If you're not running at least a 6800, you're going to really have to tone down the settings. There's a lot of interaction with the environment. If you're trying to sneak around the corner, brush up against the bookcase, like a ton of crap will fall off of it because you weren't careful to avoid running into something. A couple of cons about this game. Real phenomenal game. The single player is really, really short. Mm-hmm. I got to the end and I was like, oh, sweet, now we're going to get to the cool part, and okay, now I guess I'm done. It was just like, as soon as you get going, you start getting used to the game, it just kind of ends, and it doesn't seem like the game's going to end.
I've had relationships like that.
The biggest letdown then is the multiplayer. Feels very tacked on. Can't use the bots in multiplayer. The multiplayer is pretty much your typical deathmatch, team deathmatch, or elimination, last man standing kind of thing, and it's only versus other players. It's just like anything else. You might as well play UT. They'll have like a mod for it or something, but I didn't look for them very much. I really just wanted to like see what it was like out of the box. I mean, if you'd have got me halfway through the game, I would have probably given this pretty high score, probably a 9 or even a 10. It was really, really good. So because of the things that were wrong with it, I probably end up giving it maybe like a 7.5. Real disappointing, the lack of replay value because of the bad multiplayer and the fact that the game itself is so short. Oh, I forgot to bring this up, is Bumblefoot actually has some reach, I think, because when I bought this game at Best Buy, I got carded. I don't know if anybody else has. I'd like to tell everybody who doesn't know I'm 29 years old. I might not look like I'm 29, but I sure don't look like I'm 17, especially to the 19-year-old kid who sold me the game.
Next topic.
Nintendo Revolution facts. Nintendo Europe's Jim Merrick spoke to Eurogamer and had details on the backwards compatibility / emulation thing for the Nintendo Revolution. They're Nintendo's first-party games, as well as many third-party games from the NES, the SNES, and the Nintendo 64 days would be available. He also added, will it be every game we've ever published on any of our systems? Probably not. Bracing for impact that, yeah, most of the stuff you like will be there, but will you be able to play Deadly Towers? That was an old-school NES game on your Nintendo Revolution? Doubtful.
That was a fun game.
Not so much. Go back and play it today.
I don't want to, because then I'll realize how bad it was.
Yes. He addressed the fact that, yes, these games can be played on the PC for free with emulation today, but he, half joke, half real, was saying that if you do it on a PC, the Nintendo police may come knock on your door in the middle of the night and cart you away.
Wasn't it the Library of Congress or someone who just came out with an opinion on the DMCA that said old ROMs for systems that are no longer supported are A-OK, fall outside of the realm of the DMCA, so it's open season on legal ROMs.
He said Nintendo is also not looking to be the multimedia hub that the 360 and the PS3 would like to be. Yes, you can probably download some music. Yes, you can probably download demos, movie trailers, and stuff like that. Although he said content will likely expire in 30 days. He also said that Nintendo may break the pattern that they've had in the past, where they've launched in Japan first. So potentially, this could mean that the United States will get the first taste of the revolution.
The Library of Congress has created 4 carefully curtailed exceptions to the DMCA in the interest of preventing the DMCA from unfairly breaking mostly obsolete technology.
What's the DMCA stand for again?
Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It essentially says if we encrypt something, it's illegal for you to try to break it.
Even if it's yours and you've purchased it.
Exactly. The point of this whole thing is computer programs and video games distributed in formats that have become obsolete and which require the original media or hardware as a condition of access. So the way everyone is interpreting that to mean old arcade and old console games, seeing that you have a cartridge, but you can't buy a Nintendo anymore, ROM, so you go ahead, download that ROM and play it.
That's an interesting outtake on it. Now, we're not sure if that's...
Yeah, I forgot a point.
We're not lawyers, so that may not be the correct interpretation of the law. Although, that being said, somebody that's very close to me, and as a matter of fact, is wearing my sweatshirt right now, has tons and tons of emulation on his computer.
Jeez.
I thought you were talking about me for a second.
Will the unnamed Paladino household be receiving another letter about copyright infringement?
I sure hope not. You didn't hear this?
No.
If I've told this story before, I apologize. I got busted by Fox for downloading American Dad episode, the pilot, right after the Super Bowl. I missed it, so I downloaded it off of BitTorrent. And 20th Century Fox sent me an email and said, hey, we caught you. Please don't ever do that again. We won't sue you if you promise to delete it from your hard drive.
All right, they won't catch me. I get in my boat and I head to the Canadian border.
All right, so there's your lesson in DMCA as well as Nintendo stuff.
Next topic.
PlayStation 3 to be region-free. According to SCEA, where the A is standing for Australia, Michael F. Frame, he's saying that global HDTV is the basis for them to drop the region coding on the systems and the games, much like they've done with the PSP. So in English, because high-definition television is a global standard, there's not really any kind of reason to say that the Franks can't see it versus the Islams can't see it versus the Chinese versus the United States folks, etc. This is a rumor. They're not sure if the PlayStation 3 is going to be region-free, but they're saying, hey, it's probably going to happen. While we're talking about rumors, I don't believe this one is true. A lot of people are up in arms about it, but Sony had filed a patent about some way to tie a video game to a specific console. So the rumor then that follows was that the PlayStation 3 won't allow you to play used games. So Bob, you can't borrow one of my games to play it on your console, because as soon as I put it on my console, somehow there's some little doohickey that ties it to it. Can't rent them, can't buy pre-owned ones.
No. Because the hardware isn't fallible, and they'll never ever have to be returned. Like, hey, this game isn't working on this system because it's broke. You go and try to play it on a different system, and it's like, oh, you gotta go buy a new one because it's tied to your system.
I think really that this has no basis just because of that. Sony's done some really crazy things. This would be just the icing on the crazy cake.
Dude, they put a rootkit on your computer. This is nothing compared to that.
And there were viruses made with said rootkit. I'm not saying that the rootkit is okay, but I'll probably end up getting a PS3. If there's no way to trade games or to rent games or to get pre-owned games, no way in heck that I'm going to be buying a PlayStation 3. So that's the PS3 fang.
Next topic.
Our forum question, www.dreamstation.cc. Go to the left side on that front page there, and there's a forums link. Go into our general forums, and there will be a weekly poll. The current poll was, what's the longest you've played games without a break? Many votes. Every week we're getting more votes. We thank you. We appreciate it. Here are the results. This was kind of a cool poll. 13% said between 0 and 5 hours. 30% said between 5 and 10. 24% said between 10 and 15. 17% said between 15 and 20. And 15% said 20 plus, so I spewed a lot of numbers at you. The majority of people, being 30%, said they play between 5 and 10 hours. The next closest was 24%, saying between 10 and 15 hours. So it's a little over half of you that play between 5 and 15 hours as your longest gaming session without a break. I did mention that we do have a yearly LAN party, and that thing lasts almost a full day continuously. We're getting so many tons of good comments that we need to figure a way to read off some of the comments while being fair. So what I'm going to do is I counted up the number of posts, and I generated some random numbers. Generated these numbers, and I'm going to pick 5 or 6 of them, and I'm going to read them. So here they are. Chrono Trigger said he played PSO, that would be Phantasy Star Online. He played it 10 hours straight once. He thinks the game he's played for the longest time was God of War or X-Men Legends, both 15-plus hours. He lost count after that. Wet Jimmy, 15 to 20 hours is probably my max. Halo and Halo 2 dictated an all-night-a-thon. He regularly racks up these kind of hours on World of Warcraft, and when TIE Fighter was first released on the PC, he played it from start to finish in one sitting. That was a sweet, sweet game.
Halo does not deserve an all-night-a-thon.
But he makes up for it with World of Warcraft and TIE Fighter. Slow Row NOA Rules. He says, I played COH for 6-plus hours, 2 missions, and I didn't even level. I was only level 9, taking on level 11s. This one is from Silky Rules. I'm not that much of a hardcore gamer, so I usually don't play games for ages straight. Plus, I really never get the chance. We hear you on that one because we're getting older now and don't have the time. When I stay over at my friend's place, we usually stay up for ages playing KH or Jack 3. I don't know what KH. So he plays KH or Jack 3. It's never really been more than 5 hours. I played Halo 2 for 5 plus hours when I first got it, but then realized that I wanted to make it last, and I kept getting lost. So yeah.
There's a game by Squaresoft called Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Hey, look at you two. Good job, everyone.
Well, you mean Google.
So Kingdom Hearts, I believe, was also called Damn It Goofy Do Something. Wasn't that the subtitle of that one?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's from 360 Lord. I wonder what his favorite system is. I played Halo 2 on live from 8 a.m. to 5 a.m. I was trying to get the glitch where you would get the golden warthog, but I did a bit of research after and found that the update on Halo 2 meant that we couldn't get the golden warthog, so I felt like an idiot. Next week's poll topic. With all the garbage going on at Sony, the whole DRM and the rootkit, the actual price, the ugly boomerang controller, the financial losses, and the whole idea that maybe you can't play used games, will that affect your decision to buy a PlayStation 3? So were you planning on buying one before the last few weeks happened, and now that all this stuff's gone down, you're like, I'm reassessing my life, and I will not be buying a PlayStation 3. Yes or no?
Next topic.
Michigan video game law overruling. Judge George Stee. For a second there, for these old timers, speaking of wrestling, Judge George the Animal Steel temporarily blocked Michigan's violent video games laws from taking effect.
Did he grab the law and rip it up with his teeth? With his blue tongue?
Judge George Stee blocked the Michigan violent video games law from taking effect. He had issues with the First Amendment rights side of it. The law, once again, in recap, you get fines of up to $5,000 to anyone who is selling violent video games to minors. Repeat offenders would get up to 3 months jail time and a $40,000 fine. What this judge was saying was, hey guys, there's no demonstration of the harm that this law is supposedly protecting kids from, nor do I really think that the way the law is written, it would stand up to any kind of scrutiny. So it's temporarily being held off. So that's sort of a win for the...
He carded it Best Buy anyway.
Now here's something else interesting that Governor Jennifer Granholm, she wanted off of the case. She was the previous champion. Her and the one attorney that wanted off the case also, that would leave only one person on the anti-video game-ness side. Speculation is that because this law is going to flop when it gets to wherever it is going to wind up, this chick didn't really want to be associated with it, and again, it's just wasting taxpayers' money. So Governor Jennifer Granholm, my speculation is that she's trying to bail out before the crap hits the fan, but who knows.
Next topic.
EA Downloader. EA now has a downloader that you can get that patches their games, downloads new maps, stuff like that. According to their site, it's a small, that's about 5 megabytes, download. Now, this is similar kind of to Valve's Steam software, where it will download stuff in the back, and it will trickle down any patches and stuff.
EA will offer the... This is, everyone trusts Valve. I mean, Valve's always been a good community member. They've led the way with a lot, you know, user-created content and just being all-around good people. You know, show of hands, who here trusts EA? I'm not going to let them automatically download anything to my PC.
Exactly correct. They will offer the Battlefield 2 Special Ops expansion pack for download. You can buy it for $29.99. That's the same exact price as the retail with media version, and that will become activated on the 22nd of November. Again, like Valve does, you kind of preload the game. Now, it's pretty daggone weak that it's not any cheaper to download because you're saving them a bunch of money through distribution costs, the cost of paper, the cost of printing the media, and all this other stuff. So they're not giving you any break if you're saving them a bunch of money. So my advice to all of you people are, do not use the EA downloader. Do not buy any games from EA online. Go to the store and make them get the box. The other thing that this brings up is what happens then when Microsoft, you know, wants a downloader for their game, and Blizzard has a downloader for their game, and all these things are running in your taskbar, and they're all trickling down thousands of bytes worth of patch, and you're reduced to crappy bandwidth, your system resources is all sucked up. Between this and the Sony rootkits, you won't have any processing power left.
Next topic.
And the last topic of the day here, we have the mailbag. This is from Squeak. Okay, first, where has Keith been on X-Fire? I have only seen him once. I promise I will buy a t-shirt. I really love the show, and I will support it. I might not buy it right away because I am tight on money, but I will.
What's the link to the t-shirt?
I don't know it off the top of my head. If you go to the website, on the left-hand side, there's video game apparel. Again, we'll have it in our show notes, but video game apparel on the left-hand side.
What do they look like? I haven't even looked.
They're just the blue Dream Station, that blue circle with the DS. The whole reasoning with this was we wanted to do all kinds of funny t-shirts and ham sandwiches and Bumblefoot and all that other good stuff. Nobody bought shirts, so we get, like, seriously nothing on these shirts. But we just wanted to say, well, what if we were to go out and spend a bunch of money on t-shirts, and then I'd have a box of ham sandwich t-shirts sitting in my basement that no one would ever want. Yeah, let's go with the tried and true for now, and we'll see how it sells. If the want and the need is pretty good, I mean, we're up to, 3,000 downloads a week or something like that.
And anyway, I'm not on Xbox much because I really don't play many Xbox games online.
X-Fire.
Oh, that's just because I'm a lazy...
Because I was wondering that too. Very few of you are on X-Fire anymore. All right, this next one is from Andy. He says, hey guys, I was listening to Chris's hiccups and the other guys asking for more whiskey when I started laughing at work and the water I was drinking squirted out of my nose all over my keyboard. Thanks for the funny show, but you owe me a keyboard. You owe me a keyboard, and my lawyer, Jack Thompson, will be contacting you shortly. We're not responsible for destroyed keyboards if you accidentally giggle and fart and leave a little dookie in your drawers or anything like that. Not our fault. This one's from Mike. He says he agrees with the fact that Macs have almost no game support as opposed to Windows, but that doesn't mean that Mac games are non-existent. There are companies such as MacPlay that take best-selling Windows games and port them to the Mac. Games like Doom 3, UT 2004, Call of Duty, Star Wars Battlefront have all been ported to the Mac. I have two iMacs in my room. One of them is, wait for it, a gaming computer. It's really outdated one, to be precise. It's only 400 megahertz, but I have tons of games for it. Sure, they're several years old, but it just shows that...
Yeah, I was going to say, the theme is, wait for it, exactly.
It shows Macs do have games if you know where to look. So that's a little service, I guess, to the Mac fans that you can go to companies like MacPlay. This one is from Craig from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hey, guys, I'm an avid listener every Wednesday, and I have a question for Bob. I'd like to know what software or hardware you use for making that silly music. Thanks, and keep up the great show.
My Aardvark Pro 2496, which is analog-to-digital converter that plugs into the back of my music PC, which is a stunning 733 megahertz. A Boss DR550 Mark II drum machine. And the software I use is Adobe Audition 1.0.
I guess my 2 cents on the end of that question would be, if you don't want to get all involved with that, go ahead and pick up or somehow attain a copy of Acid Music, Acid Pro like 4 or 5 or whatever they're on.
The drum machine is the only synthesized thing. All the guitars and everything are just me playing.
All right, here's the other thing. Weaselhawk said, I was looking up some video game deaths and found a whole page on Wikipedia filled with info on crimes and deaths related to video games. Here's the link. It gives a link, and again, I will put that in the show notes. This one is from Keith L. Hey, guys, awesome podcast. I look forward to every week. I remember you guys really bashing Spike TV and their stupid VGA show. I completely agree with you guys when you say it would be a total waste of time to watch it. I did catch this show on Spike called Ultimate Gamer, however, and wow, that was a waste of a half an hour. The entire episode, all I want to do is hurt the host. Just wondering if you guys know of any quality video game TV shows that are worth watching. I did actually TiVo the Ultimate Gamer. I fast-forwarded through it. It was a complete waste of time and energy. Attack of the Show is kind of hit or miss. That can be okay.
The video game episode X-Play. From X-Files was good. The one where Mulder was sucked into the video game and there was the video game chick.
I remember that one.
Next topic.
Dude, you gotta go out on Cosby. Go out on Cosby.
I would like to sample some of your finest women.
So you have been listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. Check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for news, reviews, interviews, forums, and our podcast feeds. Send us an email with some audio questions or some video game reviews if you want to keep them under a couple minutes. Videogameshow@dreamstation.cc. You can also vote for us all over the place. The Gamertag Radio Awards will be done with the voting by the time that this goes up on Wednesday, so thanks for those that voted, all 4 or 5 of you, or however many votes we got. Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, Odeo, Yahoo, and everywhere else you see us. If you like what you hear, come back next week, and we thank you for your time.